It is to be here this morning. Welcome this morning. Good to be here with Gospel Light Baptist Church. We are very grateful to be here. My name is Pastor Jeremiah Cattells. I pastor Anchor Baptist Church down in Portsmouth, Virginia. And man, we had an absolute wonderful time. Went out with the men and boys for the men and boys camp outing. And man, roughing it. What a blessing. Amen. And I got out of the military to get away from those things. But no, we had an absolute wonderful time. And I'll tell you, it was a blessing to be out there. The first time I ever did, I do men and boys camp outing with our men. And this last year, matter of fact, we just had ours about a week and a half ago. And this year, we'd done the woods and we'd gone out and we've got some men that grew up inner city. They've never been out in the wilderness. And so the first year, we were just out in the wilderness enjoying ourselves. And some of the men said, "Pastor, you want me to sleep where?" I said, "In the woods." And that's what camping is. Well, the first year didn't work out too well, so we got a cabin the second year. And the third year, I'll tell you, this last year, I asked him, I said, "Men, what do you want to do?" And they said, Pastor, can we just camp in Craddock? Now, that doesn't mean anything to you, but Craddock is where we live. And we hear more gunshots than you would on a farm, amen? And so we camped literally at our church, and we had a wonderful time. I'll give you a funny story very, very quickly. And by the way, thank you so much for the hospitality of our family, just caring for us, loving on us. Thank you so much. We are truly privileged to be here with you this morning. And our very first year, we planted the church. We did a men and boys outing. I couldn't do a camping trip. And so I took all the men and boys, and I thought, what can we do for men and boys? I thought, man, we're going to go shoot some guns. We're going to do something manly, right? Do something manly. And so we brought them all out. We got out to a farm that I had, and I'd set up a range. And about half my men came to me, and they said, Pastor, can we talk to you separated? I said, yeah, okay. And we walked over to the side. I said, what's going on? They said, Pastor, we can't be here. I said, why? Why can't you be here? It's a farm, you know. We're going to shoot some guns. They said, it's the guns thing. And I said, what's the guns thing? Well, I found out about half my church are felons. And I realized that was not the men and boys outing to do. So we have made some changes over the years. And praise the Lord. If you would take your Bibles, please. And turn with me to Jeremiah chapter number 17. By the way, true story, and we are in a very unique area. God has been so good to us, so good to us. Very thankful, again, to be here, and our church is, we're missing our church. We love our church. I tell you, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else than where God's called me. Thank you, Pastor, for talking about Faith Promise Missions Giving. Let me challenge you, church. Get involved in Faith Promise Missions Giving. In 2009, the Lord laid it on my wife and I's heart. We were in a church up in Wisconsin, and that's where the Lord really pricked my heart for the ministry, and been serving in the ministry since 2009 in some way, shape, or form. And in 2009, we started to really pray about, Lord, what would you have us to give? And church, let me say this. If you're thinking to yourself, I don't know where I'm going to find it, I know that feeling. We rebudgeted our whole lives to find $50. I'll say that publicly. We thought we were going to have to do everything. I said, honey, I'll stop drinking Mountain Dew. You stop drinking coffee. I said, we'll figure it out. And you know, it's interesting. After that first month, we were able to give. We started by giving $50 a month. We were able to give. And we hadn't changed anything. God just provided. And it's just amazing how God provided. And so every year after that, we were able to raise our Faith Promise Giving above and beyond our tithe. And to this day, and in 2018, the Lord had called me to preach, and I was wrestling with it. It was during our Faith Promise Missions Giving. And I went to my wife, and we always prayed about it together, just like you said. I went to my wife. I said, honey, I said, what do you think we should give this year? And she said, I don't know. Let's raise it $50. And I looked at her, and I knew God wanted me. He wasn't asking for money. He was asking for me. And so I said, honey, I don't think that's enough. And she said, oh, let's keep praying about it. Well, went back. We talked about it. What should we give? And, well, let's raise it $100. I said, honey, I don't think that's enough. And she looks at me, she says, you're the husband, make the decision, you know. And man, we had gone up $200 and we had gone up $300. And finally, I looked at her and I said, honey, I'll just take care of it. And that night when we did our giving, I keep this. Give me a second, church. Bear with me for one moment. I have a reminder. This was from April 2018. And this was our Faith Promise Missions Giving, and we put it in the offering plate. But on the back, I wrote a little note. I said, I give myself, and that's what I put in the offering plate. And God has changed my life since that moment forward, because I just said, Lord, I'll surrender everything I have, everything I am, I'm yours. Use me. This morning, we're in Jeremiah chapter number 17. I promise you, if you'll just give yourself to the Lord, He will use you in some way, shape, or form. I've titled this sermon this morning, The Green Christian. The Green Christian. Now, we're not talking about getting green and sick. We're just talking about being flourishing. Look with me in Jeremiah 17. We'll read just two verses. As a matter of fact, if I could ask you to stand out of respect for the reading of God's Word, I'll do that. In Jeremiah chapter number 17, verses 7 and 8. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 17, 7, Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Let's pray, and then we'll be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here. What a privilege it is, Lord God, to be with these wonderful people, Lord God, just serving you, Lord, trying to do everything they can to please you. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that they have a pastor that loves on you, Lord, and loves on them. And Lord God, just is simply willing to yield himself to your will. And Lord God, that these people, Lord God, would be fed and Lord, continue to grow. Lord God, this morning, please help me, Lord, to be an encouragement to what a dear friend of mine and a pastor that has mentored me and encouraged me and, Lord, stood with me, Lord, when others have walked away, Lord God, and help us to keep our focus upon you this morning. Speak to these people through me. Use my mouth, my lips, Lord, my thoughts, everything about me. I'm yours, God. I just simply want to help these people. Lord God, in your name, in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, amen. You may be seated. I want to very quickly just give you a thought here. If you read the book of Jeremiah, you'll find that in Jeremiah was sent to the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel is in a backslidden condition. The nation of Israel is getting ready to go into bondage. There's chapters 1 through 24 of Jeremiah as Jeremiah warning the people of that which is coming. Jeremiah is telling them judgment is coming. Jeremiah is telling them, hey, God isn't going to turn a blind eye to the things that you've done. And they know they're going to be put into captivity. They know that they're going to suffer in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. But here in Jeremiah 17, right in the heart of all that Jeremiah is telling them, all the reminder to them that they've messed up, the reminder to them that they've taken their eyes off the Lord, we find a message of hope. And if I could say this morning to you, what we need, because the reality is we look at the world that we live in today, and we see things going a direction that we don't like. We see things going in a direction that, be honest with you, is going away from God, not closer to God. And so what we need is we need a message of hope. And we find here in Jeremiah 17 a promise. A promise that's given to you and I, and I believe that we can apply it today. I believe it's a very simple promise. I believe it's a promise that gives us three things that will help you and I be a green Christian. But what is a green Christian? Well, a green Christian would be one who is fruitful, one who is fertile. We're likened to a tree here in Jeremiah 17. It says, for he shall be, in verse number 8, as a tree planted by the water. So you and I are likened to a tree that is green, a tree that is fruitful, a fertile tree, a producing tree, a growing tree, a living, flourishing tree. And I think if I were to ask, we'd all want to be that kind of tree. We all want to be fertile. We all want to be producing. We want to please God. Every single one of us wants to do what God wants us to do. But the question is, how? How can we be that kind of a tree? And you know, it's not a hard thing to do. It's not like it's out of the realm or the reach of any of us. Every single one of us can. And Jeremiah is telling the people, hey, there's going to be challenges coming. There's going to be hardship coming. But you still can survive and thrive through the hardship if you'll do this. So number one, I'd like to give you just three points that'll help us be a green Christian. And then I'm going to very quickly show you two things that are results of being a green Christian. Number one is this. If you're going to be a green Christian, you and I have to learn to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Look at verse number 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. If I were to give you my life verse for my wife and I, it's our, you could call it our married life verse, is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Aren't you glad that you and I don't have to try to figure everything out? God will take care of it if you and I will just trust him. There's some of you here this morning, you're struggling to trust God. And I get it. I fully understand. Hey, there's some of us that we go through things in life and people fail us and people take advantage of us and there's people that manipulate us. And so we start to look at God the way that we look at people. But God is not like people. He is trustworthy. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He doesn't lie to us. He doesn't change. God is the same yesterday. The Bible says Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same, and you and I can trust Him. You're going to have to learn to trust the Lord. Trust Him. Trusting brings believing, and believing brings trusting. It helps you, and you cannot be a green Christian if you don't trust in the Lord. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 31, the Bible says, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him." You know, I'm not a very smart man. I tell our people at our church, I say, "Hooked on Phonics really worked for me. I'm still learning how to read, I guess." But I'll tell you this. I know when I read a passage that tells me that the Lord will be my buckler if I just trust in Him. And so then I go back and I say, "Well, what is a buckler?" A buckler is a shield. It's a piece of armor that protects you and I. And God says, if you and I will put our faith and trust in Him, He will protect us. You know, the world puts their trust in the wrong things. They put their trust in everything that they shouldn't. I'll give you another passage. Psalm 18:2. The Bible says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." You know, if anybody knew, David, of all people, understood. David understood that God was the one to be trusted in. Hey, you can trust in your money. You can trust in your car. You can trust in your job. You can trust in, but I'm going to say this. They will fail you, but God will never fail you. Bible says in Psalm 20, verse 7, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." Hey, to be in a church where the church says, "I'm not going to worry about the finances, and I'm not going to worry about this, I'm not going to worry about that, all the things that drag us down, I'm simply going to trust God to provide what we need. And then I'm going to be a part of it." Can I encourage you, church? Get involved. Get involved in your church. Oh, God's given you such a wonderful church. The Bible says this in Psalm 118, 8 through 9. It says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." In Nahum 1:7, the Bible says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him." Did you know that God knows whether you trust Him or not? Can I say this? And by the way, we all have had a time in our life where we've done this. You can try to fool the people around you to thinking that you're trusting God. You can stay faithful. You can be in a pew. You can keep giving tithes, and you can lack trust in God. You can come and just sit in the pew, and you can ride that thing into glory if you want to. But I'm going to tell you this, if you'll learn to trust the Lord, it'll change everything that you do, and it'll change the outcome of where your life's headed. Trust in the Lord. Church, can I encourage you? Just trust the Lord. You know, a lot of times we find ourselves, we trust in everything else until it gets so bad that we're forced to trust in God. Can I say this morning? God is not a backup plan. He is the eternal plan. He's the only plan. God is the only way. He says He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. There is no other plan but God. And I'll say this, and I understand it. I truly do. I understand. I've lived where, you know, we were wondering where the money was going to come from. We were wondering how we were going to get through a circumstance, wondering how was our family going to get through this? How are our children going to get through this? How are we going to lead them? But listen, just because you and I can't see the end doesn't mean God can't. What did David say? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Hey, you might be in a valley, but God sees it all. I can't see what's on the other side. I don't know. But God does. I'll tell you what. I know what happens in my life when I've trusted myself. You ever failed? Church, can I ask you, have you ever failed? Man, I fail all the time. I when we go soul winning, I take my children everywhere we go. And in our area, everything's labeled by parks. Douglas Park, Prentice Park, they're all parks. And you know you're in a really good area when you get to a park. Come visit with us. Most of the time when we take people soul winning, they say, Pastor, is this really America? Yeah. I took a man, he was a prior Marine, then was a sheriff for 20-some years, got called to be a missionary. We take all of our missionaries soul winning. That's one thing that I do. I want to make sure that they know how to win people to Christ. I want to make sure they're soul winners just like us. So we take them out soul winning, and I brought them out. We walked up to a door, and I'm going to say this. As we were walking up to the door, there was a smell coming from the house. The house was condemned. There was signs all over it that said, do not enter. We have a lot of homeless, a lot of drug addiction, a lot of prostitution where we're at. As we were walking up, there was a smell that hit both him and I, and both him and I at the same time knew that smell. He looked at me, he said, Brother, I cannot go up to that house. I said, yes, you can. He said, I can't go up to that house. He said, you don't understand. He said, I'm a sheriff. I said, no, you don't understand. You're a Christian first. I said, you're a soul winner first. I said, I understand what that smell is, and it was the smell of a dead person. See, what they do is they do drugs in these houses. They die, and they'll just push the body off to the side and keep doing drugs in that same house. Somebody's got to reach them. Somebody's got to reach them. Somebody's got to reach them. I'm going to tell you this. As we take our children everywhere we go. And people say, why do you take your children? I'm going to tell you why. Because I trust the Lord. I've learned to trust God over myself. Listen, my 17-year-old son, we were out soul winning, and a man came out and he put a gun in his face and he said, I'm going to kill you, son. My son looked at him and he said, sir, before you do, can I tell you that Jesus loves you? Died for you, paid the price for your sin. He said, aren't you afraid? He said, no, sir, I know where I'm going. Do you? Man got upset and he fired a shot right next to his head. Said, what do you think now? He said, I still think you need to know about Jesus. I heard that shot. I was two blocks over trying to win people myself to the Lord. And when the men came and ran up to me and said, Pastor, somebody just shot at your son. I thought, Lord, help me. Help me to make the right decision. Help me not to do what my flesh wants to do, because I've been trained. I know how to handle this situation. I spent almost 2 years in combat over in Iraq. My flesh wanted to do one thing. But on the way over, I did one thing right. I walked and I prayed and I said, Lord God, I said, the truth is that boy is in your hands. I can't do anything. My flesh can't keep him safe. I can't keep him safe. My money can't keep him safe. Only you can keep him safe. I got over there. My son was gone. My mind started racing like any of ours would. I thought, where's my boy? Is he okay? I walked down the end of the street and he's halfway down the block, still knocking doors, trying to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. He didn't stop. He kept going. Listen, people need the gospel, but listen, you and I have to trust God. Number two is this. You need to get grounded close to the life source. Get grounded close. Look in verse number 8. The Bible says, for he shall be as a tree planted by the what, church? Waters. Planted by the waters. Yeah, that's right. You know, to be planted is to put down roots. It's to be grounded. It is to be unmovable in your walk with God. The problem is that you and I have to be planted in the right place. You know, you can plant a tree anywhere, right? We like to garden. We are the most country folks stuck in the middle of an urban environment. I mean, it's awesome. The people think that we are the crazy white folks. That's literally what they think we are. I've been called everything under the sun. I could go through it. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care. I just want to reach people. Amen. We're the ones that haul deer carcasses and turkeys and bears, and we haul them through the backyard and hoist them up in our pecan tree, and we butcher them right in the backyard. We grow our own vegetables, and we share with all of our neighbors, and we love it. We absolutely love it. And we're the weirdos in the area, and that's fine. But you can plant a tree anywhere you want. You can plant a tree in rocky soil. It's not going to grow very well. You can plant a tree in dry soil. It's not going to grow very well. You could plant a tree in the desert if you wanted to. It's not going to grow. So it matters where you plant the tree, does it not? It matters what kind of soil you put the tree in. And the Bible says that we are to be planted by the waters. By the waters. You know, plants need water to grow. and need water, don't they? You know, the green Christian grounds himself as close to the life source as possible. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only way to be close to the life source is to go through the one who is life. In John 10:10, the Bible says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. We're given a very clear comparison between Satan, the thief, and he brings nothing but loss and death and destruction. And Jesus gives to us life. Now let me ask the question, church. Why would we draw close to the destroyer, the thief, rather than the giver of life? You know, where you ground yourself will determine the fruit you produce. Did you hear me, church? Where you ground yourself will determine the fruit you produce. In Matthew 12:33, the Bible says, either make the tree good and its fruit, his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Can I ask, church, where are you grounding yourself? Where are you grounding yourself? What are you grounding yourself in? And I'm going to say this. It's not going to help us if we're grounding ourselves Sunday mornings in church, but Sunday night through Saturday, we find ourselves in the world. You need to ground yourself where you can constantly feed. You know, every morning I get up and I go to the table for two reasons. One, so I can read my Bible, and two, so I can have a cup of coffee and eat something. I like to eat. I'm a good Baptist. Amen. I like to eat. We have Southern cooking where we're from, collards, fried chicken. I mean, we're getting ready to have our fifth anniversary. And we're having fried chicken, collards, mashed potatoes, beans, green beans, and ham. I mean, it's going to be an absolute glorious thing. But you know, we're going to have the preaching of the Word of God. The teaching of the Word of God. More than what I need food. The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Church, you need to ground yourself close. And you know, it's a blessing God's given to us, a church to do that in. You know, there's an all-out attack on the institute of church today. Satan doesn't want people in church. Satan doesn't want them in the right church. That's why so many churches today, they go off the feelings and the emotions, and they try to draw people in with all the thrills and frills of life. It's amazing to me. We have a family in our church, an absolute dear family. They teach Sunday school now. They help out. They came to us almost 3 years ago from an ecumenical type church, a very charismatic type church. He came and they started attending our church, and I would preach the word and I would teach the word. And he would come up and he would ask questions. And they were with us about 30 days, about a month, and they left. I looked at my wife and I said, honey, I said, I don't think that they'll ever come back. I don't think they will. They're looking for more of a church where they can feel good, a church that doesn't teach on standards or preach on standards, a church that doesn't really stick with the truth of the Word of God. It's just they just had it for so long. That's what they're looking for. About 6 months later, they came walking back in the church. The husband came to me. He said, Pastor, he said, I'll tell you why we came back. He said, we came back because the church we were going to, we found out that our children were going into Sunday school, turning on a TV, and they were letting them pick out YouTube videos to watch for Sunday school. He said, we were in Sunday school as adults, and he said, as adults, they were using anything but the Bible. He said, as a matter of fact, they almost never opened the Bible. He said, we come to this church, we know we get the Bible. We're saturated with Bible. Can I say this? I know when you're coming to this church, you're getting the Bible. I know you're getting the Bible. That's one of the greatest things I love about your pastor. How much he loves the Word of God. You ought to be grateful for that church. And if you're not, if you didn't come from a church like this, I'm going to tell you this, get yourself grounded right here. Get yourself grounded. You know, the closer you get to the water source, the closer you get to the life source, the greener you'll be. I mean, it's basic gardening, isn't it not? Right? When you water your plants, they flourish. And you water them and they flourish. And if you take the water away, guess what? They start dying out, don't they? When you stop watering the plants, they start dying out. I love tomatoes. The more you water, the more they grow, the more they produce. And I'm telling you, and I understand is from the Christian principle, you can never water yourself too much. You can never get enough scripture. You can never get enough preaching. Number three, if I could encourage you this way, is lock in and stay put. Lock in and stay put. Look at verse number eight. The Bible says, "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that what? Spreadeth out her roots by the river." Spreadeth out her roots by the river. To spread out your roots is not only to draw from the life source, but to choose not to leave the life source. You know, God's given to us this wonderful institute of a local church. And many Christians today, they struggle to be green Christians because they have no loyalty or faithfulness to the church that God has given to them. Can I encourage you, put down some roots. Put down some roots and stick around. I guarantee you this. If we look at Scripture, the Bible says this. It says, "And shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." What does that tell you and I? If you and I will get near that life source, we'll put our roots down, we'll lock in, we'll stay put, stay as close to the one that produces life as we can, we trust God, storms are coming. The Bible says there's heat coming. The Bible says there's drought coming. We all know the story of the children of Israel. They ended up going into Babylonian captivity, 70 years. But even though they went into the captivity, he said, if you'll do this, you'll go through it and you'll be blessed in it. Can I encourage you, church? Can I encourage you? Put your roots down right here. Put your roots down. God's given you a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful church. Yes, there's going to be some challenges. You know where you got people, you got challenges. Right? I mean, if you find, I tell our church this all the time. I said, if you find a perfect church, let me know. I'll go there. But there is no such thing as a perfect church. There's no such thing as a perfect church because you're dealing with a place where there's people. And where there's people, there's what? Problems. Amen, isn't there? I mean, there's problems. I tell our church, some of the biggest problems that I've got in the church are right between these two ears. They're in my own brain. I mean, listen, I have battles. I have struggles just like everybody else. There's no such thing as a perfect church, so stop looking for it and start getting faithful and involved where God has you. Get grounded right where you're at. Hey, yes, the river will sometimes overflow the banks. Yes, the winds are going to howl and the storms are going to come. But you know, the deeper you run your roots, the stronger you become. Right? Come on now. You put those things down, and the further down you put those roots, hey, let the waters rage. Let the storms come, because all that's going to happen is you're going to flex. And you know what? That happens to us, doesn't it? Storms come, don't they, Brother Doggett? You know, I don't know most of the people in here, but I can guarantee if I said, has there been any storms in your life? The answer would be all around yes. I've had storms in my life. How I've survived them has been staying as close to the life source, as close to the water. It's been to staying in my local church and continuing to serve the Lord. You know, many Christians today refuse to put down their roots deep. They keep a shallow set of roots so they can uproot at the first sign of trouble. You know, you'll never be a green Christian without locking in where God has you. You just can't be. And I'll give you some scripture. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Most of us would probably know it. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." I preached that sermon one time. I said, we need to be unmovable Christians. I took a board and I the Lord allowed me to build my pulpit. When you're a church planter, you have nothing. You start with nothing. And so you have to build everything. So my son and I, we built our pulpit in the garage. And so I took a piece of plywood and I was trying to get a point across to our people. And I took my shoes off and I put my shoes up on that piece of plywood. And I took some screws and went, and I screwed my shoes into the plywood. I messed up. I screwed him right into the pulpit. So I backed it off. I've got two little neat holes in my pulpit, and it's a reminder. But I backed it off, and I screwed him back down, and I dropped the piece of plywood in front of our people, and I put my feet in those shoes, and I tied them up, and I was stuck. I couldn't move. I was unmovable. And yes, things come along and you move around, but I couldn't get out. Why? Because I've determined to put some roots down and stay where God would have me to be. Can I encourage you to do that here? In Colossians chapter 2, verse 5 through 7, the Bible says, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." Hey, you know, other people need you to be unmovable. Other people need you to be grounded. Other people need you to be rooted. When they come here, they need to see your face. You know, it's interesting how much we need each other. Some people think, well, we need our preacher. No, your preacher needs you. Your pastor needs you. Your Sunday school teacher needs you. Your bus driver needs you. Your van driver needs you. They need you. I'm telling you, they need you. They need to see your face in Sunday school, in Sunday morning, in Sunday night, on Wednesday nights, at soul winning. They need to see you because it encourages us. The Bible says, "Of which every joint supplieth." We all have a part to play. We all have a place to be. We all are supposed to serve God together. You know, when trees are planted together, they all put their roots down, their root system starts to intertwine. And the storms do come. And here's what happens. They start to use each other for strength. They start to get flexed. They start to get pushed over, but they actually draw from the other tree to be able to stay upright. Christian, you are needed by each other. You need each other. Every one of us needs the other. There's not one person in here that's, quote unquote, more important than the other. The one that's more important is God. Amen? The deeper you put your roots down, the stronger we all become. You know, we ought to determine we'll never leave unless God calls us to some other ministry. I was doing some research, I mean, very basic research, and I found that in the early 2000s, the average person stayed at a job for only 4.1 years. 4.1 years. They go to a job, they get bored with it, whatever, maybe the pay is not good, whatever the reason is, but they're only there for 4.1 years. I thought, that's craziness. Whatever happened to being faithful? Whatever happened to be steadfast, unmovable? Whatever happened to that? You know, it's interesting. It's the same thing in church. They say that the average, in the early 2000s, the average person would stay in one church for less than 6 years. Less than 6 years. Now, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I just have a thought. If the average person stays in a church for less than 6 years, it's real hard for the preacher to start preaching on the meat because he's constantly got babes in Christ. He's trying to constantly feed with milk because there's a turnover so fast, so often. And here's the problem, too. When the new people show up, they don't have any solid Christians to lean on. Can I encourage you, church? Put your roots down. Put your roots down. I think this, I think there needs to be some great big green oaks in the church. I think there needs to be some green sequoias in the church. I just do. I think there needs to be some spiritual giants in the church that have some deep roots and have been drinking from the life source that can help others. There has to be. There's got to be somebody, but can I say this? Why not you? Why not you? You may say, well, that's the person next to me, but that's not me. Why not? Why not? Why not have each of us determine that we're going to stay where God has us, we're going to serve where God has us, we're going to stay as close to the water as we can, we're going to continue to feed from it, praise God, and we're going to grow together. We ought to do that. Can I ask you, do you want to be a green Christian? In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 through 19, the Bible says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So we see there's three things we can do to be a green Christian. Now, allow me to show you very quickly, and I'm going to do it 5 minutes or less, the result of being a green Christian. The result is this. Number one, you will not worry when the troubles come. Church, troubles are coming. Church, troubles are coming. Read your Bible. I know he's preaching on it. I know he is because we talk about it all the time. Things are waxing worse and worse. It's not going to get better. Trouble's coming. But notice the Scripture. The Bible says, and shall not see when he cometh, but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Careful is to worry about the drought that's coming. There's a drought that's coming. A drought. What? There's no food. There's no water. There's no material. There's no nothing. Hey, we don't have. We're lacking. But the Lord says, if you'll trust me, if you'll lock in and stay put, if you'll be faithful where you're at, if you'll just put your eyes on me, he says, if you'll do those things, he says, you won't have to worry when the trouble comes. You know, the whole world, right? They're all upside down right now. Oh, what's going to happen? I'm not worried about what's going to happen. I'm going to do my part. Amen. I'm going to vote Bible. Praise God. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not worried about it because God's still in control. So my trust isn't in man. My trust isn't in riches. My trust isn't in politics. My trust is in God. Amen. What are you worried about? Number two, you'll never stop being fruitful. And I love this. And if you would, look in verse 8 again. The very last part. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. I love tomatoes. I love tomatoes. I love fresh grown tomatoes. I'm one of those weirdos that can just take a tomato and just, I'll eat it like an apple. I mean, sister, I'll take, cut them in half in slices and mayonnaise and salt and pepper. You know, poor man's sandwich, amen. I mean, just, so good. But you know, every tomato plant that I have ever planted has come to a place where it's stopped producing fruit. It's come to the end of its life where it no longer yields fruit. It dies and you rip it up and you replant one the next year. The Bible says that if you and I will trust the Lord, if we'll plant by the waters, spread out our roots, that you'll never cease from yielding fruit. Now, I'm not telling you you're not going to die. We all know, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this judgment, we know that. And we know that there's a time where we're going to draw our last breath. What I am saying is that while God gives breath in your lungs, you'll continue to produce for Him, and you'll continue to serve Him, and you'll stay faithful to Him if you and I will just get our eyes on Him and we'll do what He tells us to do. You'll never stop. You'll have the promise of always being fruitful. No, can I say this? No wonder a green Christian is a happy Christian. You ever met somebody just Christian, they seem to always be happy? I mean, just laughing and smiling, you're like, man, that's got to be fake. I got troubles all the time. I'm going to tell you why, because they're trusting in the Lord. It's not because they don't have trial in their life. It's not because they don't have trouble. It's not because there's not struggles that they're going through. It's because they've placed their faith and trust in Him. They're grounded to Him. They're rooted by Him. They're drawing from the life source, and they've determined not to leave. So what are they? They're fertile. They're blessed. They're never barren. They don't know the troubles of the drought. They continue to produce no matter what. Hey, you know what? You can choose not to trust God. If I could, in closing, this, your bank account will eventually run out. Your gas tank will run empty. Your strength will fail. Your mind will grow weak. Your memory will shorten. Your loved ones will pass on. Your job will one day end. Then what will you be left with? Your house is going to fall apart. Mine's been since the day I bought it. Lord have mercy. Your cars will rust away. I'm trying to figure out where half my car is. Your money will be spent faster than you can make it. Your friends will leave you. But God will never fail you. Trust God. Get close to the life source. Lock in and stay put. and then watch God work. The troubles pass and the fruit continues to grow. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder if this morning you're where you should be in your walk with the Lord. If I it's such a simple thing that we can be a green Christian. Every single one of us can determine to say, I'm going to be green. I'm going to be the kind of tree that God wants me to be. I'm going to be a producing tree. I'm going to be a tree that doesn't worry. I'm going to be a tree that just simply locks in and stays put. I'm going to be the tree that does those things and keeps my eyes on the Lord. I'm going to just trust God. I wonder if this morning you'd say, Pastor, I see there's some things in my life that I could do a little bit differently. And so therefore, I'm going to determine to be the green Christian He wants me to be. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, it's going to be hard for you to be green if you're not plugged into the life source. Jesus is the life source. You've got to be saved. We're all sinners according to the Scripture. Sin has a price. The price is a place called hell. But the gift of God is eternal life. And so a gift is being extended to us by God Almighty. And that gift is a free gift called salvation, paid for in full by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I wonder if this morning there's someone that would say, if I died today, I'm not certain I'm going to heaven. I want to be the green Christian. I want to be locked in. I want to stay put. I want to keep my eyes on the Lord. But you're going to have to be saved first. I wonder this morning if there's somebody like that. If there's somebody that's not saved, would you just slip your hand? I won't embarrass you. I will not embarrass you. I will not call you out. I just want to pray for you. I said, we believe in an old-fashioned invitation. Is there anybody that would say, Pastor, that's me? Praise the Lord. I wonder if there's somebody that would say, Pastor, I needed this reminder because I could be closer. I could be where the Lord wants me to be. I'm going to determine to be a green Christian. Is there anybody that would slip their hand up and say that? I see those hands going up all around. Amen.
Let's all stand. The piano's going to play. We'll have an altar call.